Hey, you know, we've talked a lot about mind, body, and soul, and we keep, you know, it's like they're so integrated. You can't really
Yeah.
separate them. That's why we have so much to say about so many things. And the miracle of the human body, we are somewhat using our mind to manage our brain, right? But is that really where our energy connects us to the universe, ties back into the body,
Yeah.
you know? And the body is a spiritual space, a spiritual being. So you have done so much in actively moving that body. I know from body art all the way around,
Yeah.
right? But what are the things that you do to integrate body,
Yeah.
mind, and soul?
Really what started that whole, I guess, love or passion or interest was my mom and dad. They loved to dance. In fact, that's how they met. Well, they met, long story short, my mom worked at the Pentagon for Admiral Nimitz back in the World War II days. My dad was an LST naval guy. He had to report into Newport News. So he'd go in and report to Nimitz, and my mom was handling four phones, four secretaries there. They called them secretaries at the time. Sorry, everybody. And all these girls behind her were saying, "Joanna, Joanna, there's this gorgeous man waiting, you know, behind your desk." And she's going, "He can wait. He can wait." So he's waiting there. So he does his whatever he has to do with Nimitz, and comes back out and stands in front of my mom and says, you know, leaves a note with his number on it, and said, you know, "I'll be back in 2 weeks, and I'd love to ask you out for a dinner dance if you're interested." And she says, "Okay." So she didn't believe him. So he comes back in 2 weeks, and he did ask her out for a dinner. That's when they had the boat rides, all that stuff in the Potomac River in Virginia. And so I think my mom's mother was more excited than she was. She was more nervous. She's kind of like your mom, you know, with the whole religious experience. "Oh, we got to get you ready." And my mom was, "I hope he's a good dancer." So, you know, they sit down at the dinner. That's when they had the live
Yeah.
band. I
Oh,
mean, the
yeah.
real deal, you know, the Jimmy Dorsey, all that kind of thing, or Tommy Dorsey. And so they start playing, like, I think it was the Pennsylvania 65,000. I still have all my mom's 78s. She bought zillions of them. So they played that music, and then he asked her to dance. He had a beautiful little wrist corsage, and she's like praying to God that he knew how to shuffle more than feet. And they started dancing, and the rest is history. They just hit it off. And so when we were growing up, I had two older brothers. And we would watch. That was when "As the World Turns"
Yes.
was airing, and it's like
Yes.
my mom had this ironing board in the living room, and this was so like 1950s gone 60s. So she's ironing pillowcases, and
Oh
she's
my.
teaching us how to iron. And the safest way to do that is with pillowcases. Why is this all leading to dancing? Because she put the we had to learn how to put clean iron pillowcases onto the pillows and not get them wrinkled again. And then she said, "So this pillow represents your partner when you dance. So I'm going to show you how to dance. So you want to hold your pillow, your partner, just tight enough so it doesn't fall through your arms, but not loose enough so it hits the floor." I was like, "Brilliant." I said, "Oh my gosh." So we were like all walking around the living room with pillows in our arms, you know, like we're dancing with this imaginary pillow partner. And but that's how we learned to get physical activity going instead of sitting by watching the TV and watching the soap opera.
Oh, that's
And
amazing.
so that, but the love of their dancing and love, I mean, it's still carried out because I know all the dances now, I mean, all the social dancing. And plus, it's a great way to keep your body moving.
For sure.
So when you talk about that mind-body experience, it kind of led into some other things. I mean, oddly enough, I had a bit of like some circulation issues going, and I said, "How am I going to keep my body circulating if I don't keep it moving?" So I got interested in yoga and qigong or tai chi, which is karate in slow motion, basically. But it was all about keeping your qi or your energy or your dan tian moving, keeping all that energy constantly flowing. And that's what it is in life anyway. So if it's stagnant, something else is going to be stagnant. So it's a domino effect of that blockage. So I learned ways or modalities as a little more Eastern medicine or Eastern way of operating. But again, it brings you back to the spirit, brings you back to the core, and keeping it all grounded, so that it can just flow from all five points, your head, your arms, your feet. You're like a starfish. You're a walking starfish. So, and that even like spun off, pardon the pun, from figure skating, because I used to compete. I always wanted to compete. We grew up right by a little creek near our, you know, unincorporated area in Melrose Park, Illinois. And Again, my brother, I must have competed with my brothers or something. I said, mm-hmm. they're skating. I want to skate too. So we were daredevils. There was like a strip of ice, maybe 12 inches wide around the bend, and then black ice on the rest of the creek. But we all dared each other to skate on this tiny little surface, and we all did it. We were nuts.
Wow.
We were nuts. But that led into me wanting to skate. And at the time, our family was not so, you know, we were kind of like middle class, lower middle class. And I remember my dad saying, well, if you want to skate and compete, like, you know, Peggy Fleming or Dorothy Hamill, says, you got to find a way to do that. So my dad, again, taught me how to be resourceful and find out how I could do what I love to do and have it work. So there was a Franklin Park District ice arena near where we lived. And so I said, in order for me to skate for free, I could work as the concession person.
Yeah.
So I worked as the concession person so I could skate, and I learned how to skate and talk about an elixir. That's like you're just gliding and the world stops. The world stops. And plus it's a discipline. So, and it is almost like a religion. I mean, the skaters are like, it's almost like this church group. It's like we all are at the rink at 4, 5, 6
yes.
in the morning. We're nuts. We're like skate rats, skate rats. And it's obsessive almost. But there's just a beauty about that when you just set your foot out on the ice and you just go. You literally go with the flow.
I commend you. Like, it's so beautiful to watch.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's truly like the grace of a person's human soul and spirit, and you just see it moving so effortlessly on the ice. I watch it though, and I start to get the inside shivers.
Well,
I love skating.
Don't get me
wrong.
It's not that easy either. It's like there's times when you
oh god, it does not look easy. I could not. It looks too way.
I quit. I'm never gonna skate again. I'm putting my boots in the bag. I'm going home. And then you're like home. You're like, oh, no, you know, or you know where every ice rink is in the world. I mean, you really do. It's like when I was traveling in Europe, I said I knew where every ice rink
was. That's amazing.
That's obsessive.
Once, so I built golf resorts and real estate, you know, around the world and around the U.S.
Yeah.
And we would put up to have events, we put up those ice, fake ice skating things.
Ice.
Yes.
Oh,
and
my
that,
gosh.
That was exciting. That I could get on and I would let my kids get out there. Same thing with skiing. I was a great skier, but it needed to be like 50 degrees for me to ski.
Oh, my gosh.
And I didn't want to wear all the heavy clothes. So in Connecticut and
you're the end of season ski bunny.
And then Vermont. I did a lot of skiing in Vermont. But definitely. Like everybody was waiting for that first snow and the heavy snow. Not me. I'm waiting for spring and I'm on the last snow and that's when I was comfortable.
Oh, my gosh. That's like the toughest. You've got to be good to ski. Like that's
I was a bit scared. I just didn't like to be cold. I still don't like to be cold.
Oh, my gosh.
But you know, I got to tell you something. This like reminds me so much. We have such similarities. Again, there's got to be divine connections when people are brought together like this. My parents were the same way.
Really?
They were always dancing. My father was always singing. So he instilled that.
Mm.
And here is here's a miracle story. After he passed away, he was way too young at 70. Mm. And most everyone in his family passed away and by the time they were 60. So he always knew he would go early, which I feel like, okay, I'm on my last leg here because this is just my family history. And they always sang and danced. That's how they met, too.
Wow.
They were roller skating. So
oh, my gosh.
They went roller skating, you know, every Friday night, and they danced and they sang. So we grew up, got to learn how to dance. So we would step on Dad's toes, and he would teach us how to dance. So I dance all the time. I hardly sit. I dance. I say, on my Fitbit, I move 10,000 steps in my living room every day. I never even left the house because I'm always moving and I'm always dancing. And when I put on prayer music, oh my God, I will go into, that's my yoga. Like I'll go into this space and I'm just feeling the energy and it just fills me up, right? And I'm literally, it's like you can see my pixie wings come right out of the back of my back and I am in this space and the tears are pouring. And I feel like that is only can be described by the Holy Spirit, right? How do you even make that happen? I can't even get that way in a sad movie. But I put on what I call my praise music, and I am in my zone. That's how my parents were. And
that's
so
funny.
After he passed away, I have this thing where I don't go to... When I was young, I always wanted to go to funerals because I could see dead people. I could listen and hear the beautiful spirituality. So I used to beg my grandma, could I please go? Could I please go? And she'd be like, it's a funeral. And the Italian funerals were like crazy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I wanted to go. I wanted to go to every one. As I got older, I went to no funerals. Not even my dad. Because at that point, I recognized that I'm so connected universally that putting this body somewhere doesn't even distract me anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't lose a heartbeat from saying hello to saying hello in a bigger way. In fact, I just was so excited that now he could embrace me even more totally.
Wow.
So we went to the family and to the whatever you call it, mortuary, whatever, because my dad wanted to be cremated. So we went to the space and everybody went in and they wanted to see my dad. I was like, oh, I don't need to see that. Yeah. I don't need to look. I don't need to go. But I'm like, I'm out here in the car ready for when I'm picking you guys up. Everybody gets in the car. They're all like, oh, you should have come in. Are you sure you don't want to go? I'm like, I don't need to go. There's nothing I need to see there.
Yeah.
I leave the place. I kid you not. Driving down the highway. There is a big, big billboard. And it says, you should be dancing. And I thought, I just got goosebumps right now. I thought, there's no way that billboard is real. There's no way that that billboard exists right in the middle of nowhere, Florida. And it says you should be dancing. And you know, you're driving like 70 miles an hour down the highway. I wanted to get off the next exit, turn around, go back and see if it was really there. Because I felt like,
so funny.
I just felt like this was just showing up for me.
Right?
It was just crazy. So because of all that dancing, I took dance lessons my whole life. And as an adult, I took all ballroom dancing, learned every dance, right? I wanted to be in the space. So I'll never forget it. I went to an event once and I was dancing and some couple came up and they're like, oh, you're so inspirational. You're such a good dancer. Like, how do you get to be like that? And I said, well, I took 14 years of professional ballroom dancing. And they went, oh, you're not that good.
Oh my gosh. They must have been a figure skater. They were a skater. They were a skater gone ballroom dancer.
With that many years, you should be way better than this.
Oh, please. Oh, stop.
So, but you know, when you move your body, right, just things start to happen.
It's true. I mean, it just, to me, also like doing the martial arts side of it was a true spiritual practice because you have to, you can't focus on anything else. You just have to literally be there. We spent like, I think, 2 years on just the opening move of the Qigong move.
Oh,
just
my gosh.
Opening the gate. But that's normal. That's normal. Same thing with tango dancing. You spend almost 3 years just for tango dancing for the female partner just to walk backwards.
Yeah.
And just the walking.
Yes.
Just the walking.
Yes.
So I was like, what? But it's like the 10,000 hours of anything, you know, to put into that. So, but yeah, it's, I mean, I do remember actually like when my dad had passed at home. And I didn't want to miss anything. But then as soon as that moment happened, it was like what you said. I said, there was nothing there. I said, but really what I noticed the next morning or later that morning, I saw a big, big ass crow, but a big fat crow out there in the front yard. I said, there's Dad.
Yes.
So every time I travel, I always see crows. I said, well, all right, Dad, you're driving with me. And then I go to a rest stop. I see now three crows. I said, there's my dad. There's my mom. Sometimes some of the relatives. I went, well, that's Uncle Angelo. Okay, no, that's Uncle Kaji. I don't like Uncle Angelo today. Get out of there, Bert.
I have an Uncle Angelo, too. I get it. You know, this inspires
Everybody
me.
Everybody has an Uncle Angelo.
Right?
Believe me.
This really inspires me for the future of our youth because they... You know, I did a talk yesterday. So one of the things that I'm really trying to educate, my background is teaching finance and real estate development and helping people really to understand financial planning and take care of their lives, especially women. I say 90% of women will be 100% alone at some point in their lives. Are they 100% ready? So from a very early age, I started, you know, on Wall Street and started teaching financial planning. And I look at the transitions for what we're doing in the universe with technology today and how everything has become a digital representation of some thought and meaning. And it's harder for us because this is like our second language, third language now with technology, right? But these kids that are born into everything is a meme, everything is augmented reality, everything's a hologram. And with
every kid's waving their hand from left to right, no, they're not waving it. you. Yes. They're practicing that swipe left, yes. swipe left. I'm like, right? They're not waving at you, honey. Sorry.
But it's their minds are so much yeah. more open to mm-hmm. understanding that nothing is real, right? Energy. Mm-hmm. Well, we know body. We were talking about all these things. Yeah. Yeah. Energy in motion, bodies at rest, like all of these things that really demonstrate that we are just some kind of biomass sitting here yeah. on the planet, and where's our real true connection? So I'm loving the representations of NFTs in the marketplace right now, all the AI stuff and the augmented realities, because just even with my mom, like, she was so excited that I finally got her to take a picture of a check and have that get deposited to her bank account, yeah. right? And she cannot even process right. the fact that, what do you mean? How is the money getting there? How is this happening, right? And if you try to talk to a 20-year-old, they're like, what do you mean? What do you mean? They haven't been to a bank probably ever in their lives. Like, they open up an account online, right. and everything they're doing is one transaction, one transaction. So there's a lot of faith, right, that right. goes into our digital world, our mm-hmm. technology world. You're automatically assuming that yeah. how things are moving through even the development of the blockchain that is so scrutinized by numbers of miners who are making right. sure that the transactions are accurate, mm-hmm. that there's transparency, that there's autonomy, all of the way that we're operating with technology right now signifies for me a direct representation to our connection to our creator. Yeah. It's just, I'm loving this, and I'm seeing the transition of technology as it moves in rapid speed.
Oh my God, especially with the cryptocurrency, to me, is another form of circulation.
Yes.
Artificial intelligence, AI, it's been there for years, but now it's just come to the surface, especially as a voice actor as well, TV, film, but voiceover actor. AI is it's the way to go. A lot of people go, oh, you can't have a human voice do that. You're going to lose all this business. I said, no, you still need a human voice to be digitized for all those products and services that are going to be out in the marketplace. So again, you're still humanizing the digital and technological world. You still need humans in there. A lot of people think, oh my God, this is the end of civilization. Well, if you put it in that kind of perspective, if you put us, and they've done this, there's a YouTube video about that, but we're this speck called Earth in our galaxy. But there's a gazillion other galaxies. So really, if you have an issue of cryptocurrency going on or an issue with AI, we are this little pixel on this huge, like, galaxy of things going on. So I wonder what else is going on.
Oh, what else is going on? Look at me right now. First of all, my family never drank. I came from a family that it wasn't a conversation, it wasn't a discussion, it wasn't on the table. We didn't even have the traditional wine that Italians drink. My family didn't do that. And then, so I never was a drinker. And when I got asked, almost 15 years ago now, to come and consult with a technology company for the rapid maturation and filtration of spirits, I thought, oh, I'm the least likely person to just disrupt or add value to the alcohol industry. I put ice in my red wine, for God's sakes. What am I going to do, right? And I studied the space, and from a financial investment, I said, holy cow, bourbon appreciates at 400% a year. This is not a category that I can just ignore as a real asset out there, because it's one of the ones that has just surpassed any other investment out in the marketplace.
Yeah.
So whether I believe it in or not, I cannot deny the information. I need to study this space. So lo and behold, I came kicking and screaming, because I said, I believe everything in my life was divine intervention, or that I'm somehow being driven or ordained to act as God's servant in the world. And I try to be obedient to those things that are so heavy and big and bold on my heart that I know I'm supposed to take action. And I think that has been one of my greatest gifts, is that I am an executor. And people always say, how could you do everything that you've done? How can you be a financial planner? And how can you build real estate? And how can you own? I own 12 corporations right now that I act as CEO on. And have Skirt Magazine, one of the leading empowerment magazines, celebrating our 29th year this Woo! Year. Yeah, so many, like, how do you do all this and have 9 kids and get 3 degrees and, you know, be a leader in so many non-traditional disruptive spaces? And I say, because I have enough faith to know that if I just, you know, people say fake it till you make it. I go, mm-mm. No. I've always said faith it till you make it. Yeah. And I just jump right in. It's not like there's information that's going to be piped in from Mars. Everything
but,
that we have is already here.
But you are receiving it. You have been, talk about being a receptacle. You are like the class A number one receiver.
Yes.
And so the many businesses and philanthropic projects you've done, just that give back, I said, there has to be that intake. There has to be.
Yes.
And so to me, I mean, in terms of the art that I do, in terms of even some of the performing I do or work with other people, other communities, I said there is that give back, and there's an exponential, you know, profit margin, if you will, even for that give back. And a lot of people just aren't aware of that. So I think what you're doing and what a lot of other women are starting to do and realize is that, you know, they have the acumen to manage themselves financially and fiscally.
They worry about the money. So many people don't execute. They have great ideas and they worry about the money, which is not, I've known, is not a real thing.
But you can't chase the money.
It's not even a real thing in my life. I'm thinking of the loaves and the fishes, right? And the bread. And like, it's a complete never ending. Again, there's nothing being piped in from Mars on the planet. We have everything that we need. Everything that we need is right here. And so I always just jump in and know that it's all going to be revealed. So I don't get stuck in the, I don't know what to do. I say, oh, I don't know what to do. It will be revealed for me. And I take that step. So anyway, I go kicking and screaming into this space because I'm thinking, with my skill set, I mean, I've been delivering emotional competency as an ordained minister for forever, and I'm now going to be a door-to-door vodka salesman. I'm like, this doesn't seem like I'm hearing this things correctly. And I swear to God, every dream, go do this, the name of my company, everything, open this up, go into the space. So I started thinking about it, and I thought, all right, I'm over here fighting for my reality TV show. I'm trying to get visibility in my space. I want to give back for my craft. And I'm thinking, why in the heck would I be in this industry? And then it occurred to me, all the things that I ended up coming into now at this part of my life where I'm more experienced and evolved are potentially vice industries. And I am in the middle of a space to be able to convert those industries and the trillions of dollars in that space into doing great things. And if you think about it, I thought, okay, let's talk reality TV show for a minute. What is the longest airing story out on planet Earth? I would say that is, well, let me ask you this. Do you remember what Jesus' first miracle on planet Earth was?
Oh my gosh, you're putting me on the spot.
Turning water into wine at the Feast of Canaan. Okay, so let's say reality TV show here, and we've got, I'll call the major producer here God, and he comes up with an associate producer, I'll call her Mary, and says, we need to come up with a storyline for the big reveal of this character. Well, let's call him Jesus Christ. And this reveal has to be so big. The storyline has to be so big that it's going to transcend generations. It's going to transcend cultures. It's going to be around for thousands of years. This is going to go down in history as the greatest story ever told. Okay? And she says, well, I know. Let's have a virgin birth. That'll be crazy. Like, crazy. And he's like, great storyline. Okay, we're going to roll with that. So we introduce the character, Jesus Christ, through the storyline. A virgin birth. And now we're saying, okay, well he's got to do something. He's, you know, we got to give him something. There's got to be like the big reveal. Now, if you read the Bible and you go through the story, Jesus kept saying, my time is not yet. This is not my time. This is not my time. So I have to tell you, this omniscient producer who hired a woman to give the real good production story here said, no, yeah, your time is now. And here they are at the wedding, at the Feast of Canaan, and they're out of wine. And she said, she did, bring these casks, bring these barrels. And he said, woman, my time is not yet. She said, son, we need wine. And there you go, right?
Yep.
And the best of the best for the bridegroom, right? Usually they would start with the better wine, and as soon as the community would get intoxicated, they would just go to the cheap wine. No, it was save the best for last.
Yep.
Okay, yep. So if this story is so powerful, right? I didn't create this storyline. This is something that every religious culture knows about. They know the story. And where did that come from? So I look at the fact of, okay, really? Seriously? Now I am forced to turn water into bourbon and vodka and gin and rum and tequila and create responsible drinking through having conversations like this? This is what I say is given meaning to let's drink responsibly. Mm-hmm. Through celebration, you can create prosperity. People come together. They're having a love experience and a good time. And from that space, I'm able to do amazing things. Do you know that my bottles say thank you in over 300 languages? Because I'm just...
I was wondering about that, because I love the bottle. I love the, and especially the one that you have, the striped pig one.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's hysterically wonderful.
Literally,
but I didn't know you had all the...
I do. I have it. Thanks.
That's
I actually own the trademark for THX, which, back that up, is now the most number one texted word on the planet is THX, right? And a long time ago in the dream, I was given it and I have it. So I have thanks written in 300 languages.
That is
so just
cool.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So, and that, you know, I'm actually here. I wanted to show you this. Look, it'll be, I hope you're proud of me.
I'm sitting right next to you, like going, oh my gosh, the 2022 I'm doing my voice of God voice now. Pixie Paula Dazzuti, 2022 International Woman of the Year, the 2022 International Women's Day Summit, March 8th, of course, 2022. The Women's Chamber of Commerce of Atlanta couldn't have given it to a better recipient.
Thank you. I'm so excited about this. You know, every time I have the opportunity, this is like...
Can I hold it?
Sure. That's my badge
wonderful.
Of honor. Service.
This is so good.
This is how I know.
This is
my barometer for how I know, like, I'm on
I
the right
this.
Path.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me, okay,
so cool.
Great. Because where am I going to get these little badges of honor to keep the inspiration going? I'm humbled. And I recognize that I have been trained so well. And I don't even mean on this planet.
Yeah.
I mean, I came in, right? Having been trained so well to really be who I am is unconditional love and possibility.
Yeah.
And I have demonstrated that in my life. I always say to those that I'm coaching, you want to know what you're committed to in your life? Look at your life.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you have manifested is what you are committed to.
Right now.
There is no other way around it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really great news, because if you don't like your circumstances, you don't like who you are, you're not feeling good in your own skin, you get to change it. There's nobody else inside driving the bus. You're in control.
Yeah.
And when you realize that you have that ability, if you take accountability for that, then your life can transition like this. Because you can only be who you are. Everything else external, right? So I love it. And I look now at what is being created around the space, and that there's so many people that I'm helping from the financial perspective, especially in this whole new world of, I say there's now actually two species on the planet, mm-hmm. those that really understand technology and those that don't.
Well, I will say, in light of Women's History Month, I said, and speaking of history, that's his story.
Yes.
But we are in women's her story.
Absolutely.
So it's about creating the her story of our lives right now, instead of using that male dominated matrix reference of history. And I think a lot of women are really picking up on that. So that's how they're able to take those strong strides with power, with grace, and with their spirit, knowing that they have everything they need.
Statistically, we are like 51% of the planet is over age 50, whatever those numbers are. They're
thank
staggering.
Goodness. Safety in numbers.
And so my challenge is to bridge that gap between those that totally understand and those that don't.
Yeah.
Because I don't want anybody to feel isolated or uneducated or not in the know. I want to make sure that they have accessible resources that make the barrier to entry to some of the ways they're going to need to be functioning very quickly in the future, because technology is moving with the speed of light. And they are not waiting at home for 80-year-olds or 90-year-olds to figure out how to deposit their checks into their checkbook. I mean, the banking system is changing everything.
Yeah,
so we have to, I feel like we have to find ways to bridge the two species.
Well, even in Atlanta, in the city of Atlanta, and I can speak from experiences because I've been to some of the elder centers, senior citizens, centers. They didn't even call them that. They just call them the senior centers. There is a plethora of instruction on Bitcoin, on
Yes.
Cryptocurrency, computers. They do teach people how to deposit their checks,
yes,
you know, by taking pictures. So they are taking great stride. The whole, at least Fulton County, from, I just know it from Fulton County's perspective, but they are taking great strides to really get everybody of all demographics and all populations up to the same operational field.
Absolutely.
And with medical technology now, I mean, and the home doctor visits and all that whatnot, I mean, I don't even know if I want to go to a real doctor, you know, in their office. I said, I'll just go online and just... Okay.
Dr. Google is like right
Dr.
there
Google.
Every minute, 24/7. And yeah,
but
it's just
given you, especially women who have the kids and all that, you know,
yes,
it's given them power to be at home and still take care of their family, and they don't have to go to a doctor.
It really
right
brings
there.
Us back to the whole thing about, is COVID the blessing or the curse, right? Mm. It's just moved us in so many ways to get stronger, to become more resourceful, to act in faith, and to embrace, you have nothing to lose, to embrace everything you've always wanted.
Mm.
So I'm so excited about what the future holds, you know, for everything. I'm really embracing the technology. I think it's just really exciting.